This is Your Own Best Company, a podcast for people who love to work alone. Hey there, everybody. It's Your Own Best Company. I am Franklin Taggart, and it's time for Erica and Audrey and Franklin to ride again. My good friends, Audrey Holst and Erica Holthausen, are with me. And I have to tell you that these shows that we do together, the three of us, have become my favorites, and they've become the ones that I look forward to most. And I've missed you. So we'll start there.
Yeah. It's been too long. It's so good to see both of your faces.
Yeah, this is... I saw the email come through and I was like, yeah, it's been too long. I miss you. Also, we need to talk immediately now. And and we somehow found a date in January, which if right? You could see what my calendar looks like in January, I had to like clear trees and like build a trench and, you know, like hold off the wolves in order to make this happen. But I was like, it is worth it. And that's where we are.
Yeah. Well, as we were spending some time reconnecting before I pushed the record button, it turned out there were a couple of meta themes that seemed to be poking through. And one of them was we all kind of ended the year looking at things and asking some pretty deep questions about the work that we're doing and about the life that we're leading. And that gave me some questions to start with. And then in addition to that, we were also talking a little bit about I know at least in Erica and my situations, we were both dealing with loss at the end of the year and coming into the first of the year. And that flavored all of the things that were going on. So I just wanted to just put that out there. Those were the things that kind of came up in the pre-show. You want to talk
in the green
about
room,
that?
As it were.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that?
I would love for Audrey to say again, sort of the thing about missing the point of the last several years.
Yeah, let's go there.
Okay. So I think one of the it feels kind of like the end of the sentence that we started in the pre-show. So let me see if I can start the sentence that kind of ends with this piece. So it seems like for all of us, there is some contemplation, some evaluation of values. There was some reflecting on the past. There was some dreaming into the future. You know, the Gregorian calendar is a human invention, but we all collectively gather around it, as Abigail Rose Clark, good friend of mine, brilliant friend of mine, will talk about. You know, she's like, we collectively agree upon this thing, even though it's fake. But there is power in things that we collectively agree upon. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we've had, there's a bit of that, I think, that's naturally created in the collective. And so I'll just talk for myself personally. There was a kind of, okay, what's important, what's not important. I found that it was both a mental and a physical exercise. So there was this sort of digging into conceptually what my business has done, what I want my business to do. There was a big digging physically into my space. We've started moving furniture around and changing rooms in the house. And I shared that I went through the writings that I did, the writing and the art that I created over the last two or three decades of my life, which is a really interesting experience to really sit with the human that I have been and the human that I am and how similar and how different I am. And so there's all of that just sort of swimming around. And one of the things that got shared in the pre-show is, or Erica was mentioning specifically, that there's a lot of culling of information.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Getting rid of information that doesn't serve. Newsletters, PDFs, courses, whatever the thing is that just we collected at a certain point because it felt important and we thought we were going to do something with it. And now it's like, nope, getting rid of that. Unsubscribing from newsletters, right? I also am of the ilk that unsubscribe to a new, unsubscribe from my newsletter, unsubscribe from anybody's newsletter. If you don't want to read it, if it doesn't serve you, get it out of your inbox. You don't need it. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I've been doing is doing as research. This is also, I'm giving Erica a lot of credit here because Erica deserves a lot of credit because she encouraged me. I'm actually in one of Erica's groups right now because one of my goals was to be writing more and to be writing articles specifically about the work that I do, specifically for the people that need to hear what I have to say. And one of the things she encouraged me to do was to research some of the stats that are really important for the folks that need to hear what I have to say. And so I started to dig into it, and this is like a light read. This is not like a, you know, that I have all the things right on top of my head, but when I start to read into, so I work with lawyers, a lot of lawyers. And one of the things that I learned is that law made a lot of money last year and they had a lot of attrition. Mm. In 2021 specifically, right? That the numbers for 2022 are probably going to be rolling up like later in the year. But in 2021, there was a 26% attrition rate in law, which is really high. And a lot of these people were associates that didn't even make it a year. Mm-hmm. They've done some studies on the firms that people were staying at and the places where people are going from. Where people were staying, they were doing more work. They were spending more time. They were more productive. The places where people were staying, they were making more money. So there's a lot more information, right? There's a lot more stats. There's a lot more numbers. There's a lot more stuff to dig into. But one of the things that a lot of these studies are starting to show and that, you know, anecdotally, people have been talking about in every conversation I've had with anybody who works in any sort of industry right now is that money is not it, because people have had the experience of making a lot of money. You know where I was going. I caught myself. That it matters. I know it doesn't matter. I get bleeped out anyway, but
I'll edit you.
People make a lot of money and they aren't feeling the way they thought they were going to feel when they made all that money, or the places they were working for didn't treat them the way that they wanted to be treated making a lot of money. And people the last 3 years have figured out what is actually valuable to them, what their values are, what's the stuff that they want to have in their lives. And money is important because you got to pay bills and maybe you want some disposable. Thank you. I couldn't get there. Disposable income.
I think exposable works too.
Exposable income. You know, they want to, you know, contribute to causes. They want to whatever but it comes down to what the resource does for you in your life, what you're using it for, what it allows you to do. So that's the long sentence in front of the punchline, which is if you in 2023 as a business owner are only focusing on the figures of money that you are wanting to say that you're making or that you want to help people make, you are missing what has happened the last 3 years. That was the end of the sentence. So now I'll go up and let the rest fill in.
Yeah. And so it was the attorneys who were at the places that were highest paid who were leaving the most.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know that there's a necessary correlation that all of them were getting paid really high and all of them left, but it was one of the stats that was looked at in terms of firms that people were leaving versus firms that people were staying in.
Wow. Yeah.
And again, don't at me if my numbers are slightly off, because that was a quick breeze through on the information.
But it goes to that point that it's not money alone. And there have been tons of studies on more global levels that basically are like, several have said basically, you know, 75,000 is the tipping point. When you make that, people are like, yes, this is good. It feels good. They're able to support themselves. There's diminishing returns once you're above that number. Yeah. It's not like it continues, you know, you don't get into full on ecstasy just because you're higher up on the financial numbers. It's much more about, well, what are you A, doing with the money, but also what are you doing with your time? How are your relationships? How are you showing up? How are you able to show up? How are you feeling at the end of the work day and then at the end of the work week? So
yeah, Well, it kind of goes back to a previous conversation that we had about the concept of enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
exactly
I
that.
Think one of the things that I think is really important is that there's still kind of a confusion between how much money that you make and quality of life. And quality of life, very often, I mean, yes, poverty does have an effect on the quality of a person's life. There's no question about that. But there's one of the things that I just read an article not too long ago that was really fascinating to me. And it talked about how when concern for the basics like housing and food and the basic creature comforts of heat and things like that were taken care of, how much that influenced the ability for people then to exercise their creative potential.
Yeah.
And it was something that had been found during the pandemic. And I think, I want to say that it was in The Independent where I saw this article, and they were talking about what's going to be the backlash for all of these new businesses that have been started during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And the point that they put forward was that with the subsidized income that was possible during the pandemic, many people found that their basics were covered enough that they actually had the bandwidth then mm-hmm. to go out and create a business mm-hmm. or to exercise their artistic ability and to start to sell the things that they've created. And mm-hmm. it's like there was something in that I thought was really important to identify is that we're not talking about making people rich here.
Right.
But we're talking about making sure that people have the basics, and then the creativity that becomes possible is off the charts. I found that fascinating.
We're really not talking about making people financially rich.
No.
But we are talking about creating rich lives.
Yeah. Did you all
and that's read, a whole different thing.
Did you all read that information a few years back that was all about, I think it was Denmark, where they have a rating for gross national happiness? Have you seen that, those?
Yes.
Was that Gretchen Rubin? Did she write about that?
Is it Denmark?
I can't remember. It was one of the Scandinavian.
It's in that, yeah.
I thought it was Nepal or something. I'm really confused about that. But I do remember reading on that.
Well, the thing that was really interesting in that was that money featured very, you know, low on the scale as far as the gross national happiness was concerned. The things that registered high were quality of relationships, the lowered amount of worry and stress and things like that. And it's like those were the things that their government was actually focusing on.
Yeah.
Bhutan.
And it's amazing what we can do when the will is there.
Crazy cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, another thing that we were talking about in the pre-show that I wanted to make sure that we get out there was we were talking about that all three of us have come to a place where the figures are not a motivator as much. You know, the figure fetish of six figures, seven figures, eight figures, blah, 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 blah. That to me just gives me hives. To even think that way is not, it feels like a foreign language to me. Hmm. And I'm surrounded by people who think that way.
Yeah.
And that's fine for them. And at the same time, it's like, that just doesn't feel like a place that I hang my hat very well. And yeah, you're right. I don't always have money, but I generally tend to like my life.
Yeah. But I think that's going to the redefining what we think of as a thriving business.
Tell me about that, Erica.
And coming up with our own definitions of success. And what that means to us. And, you know, I know people who have very on paper, incredibly successful businesses. And feel exhausted, feel overwhelmed, feel disconnected from their family and their friends, feel under stress all of the time. Some because they haven't reached that idea of what enough is. They think they have to keep on pushing and striving and working and grinding and all of that kind of stuff. And some because they're in this, they're on this like hamster wheel where it's going. So if you stop, you're going to end up going upside down and falling, or so you have to kind of keep on running, and they're not sure how do I get out of this? Or they now have responsibilities to other people and are feeling that kind of pressure and want to make sure that they can keep paying the people that they've brought on. And well, I promised this person that they'd go full time. And, you know, it becomes all of these additional pressures, and that may or may not be what you want for your own business and life. And a thriving business has not that much to do with money. It's much more for me about who do I get to work with? Am I enjoying what I do every day? Do I get to show up as my full self with my clients? And do they get to show up as their full selves with me? Because that is magic. Like something magical happens when people come together, whether it's two people or 20 people, doesn't, or 20 bajillion, when people come together and they're all working towards the same goal and they're supporting one another and they're able to be their full selves and learn from each other, that's worth more than any seven-figure business on the face of the planet.
Yeah. How does that translate for you personally?
What do you mean? Tell me more.
Like, how is that showing up for you just individually, Erica? It's like, how is your life different with that realization?
Yeah. So I think for me, some of that realization allowed me to figure out what is stuff that is noise and is distracting me from that realization.
Yeah.
And what is stuff that is helping me deepen that realization and helping me sink into that realization. And so that we were talking a little bit before the show about that was part of what drove me to unsubscribe from tons of email newsletters, throw out a bunch of digital resources, to stop it, to use certain phrases as almost trigger words that let me know, nope, that's not, I don't need to go in that direction, because nobody has the answer to a secret. There is no one right way. Your business is every bit as valid, regardless of how many figures it hits. That is not the definition of a valid business or a valuable business. And so it's some of the energy that I'm really trying to hold on to and take forward with me, because there's also so much stuff that we do in a day that we think is essential, because that's the word on the street, and that's the noise that's in our head, and that's the cacophony of sound. That's the one thing we hear above it that we don't actually have to do.
Yeah,
like
I
at
have
all.
To post on LinkedIn three times a week or I'm going to fail.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it.
No, you don't. Like all of it is sort of like, no. So where does the energy go where I can fully show up? And when I'm realizing, and it took time for me to get here, but the more fully I show up as myself in different rooms, people are either going to resonate with me or they're not. Like, I'm a strong cup of tea. Not everybody's into me. That's totally okay. Like, bless and release. Bye-bye. But those who do, we have real conversations from the get-go.
Yeah.
And that creates real relationships. And not every relationship you have has to turn into a transaction. They're like, you get and support each other, and having other people in your orbit who are in this crazy online business world that we operate in is so incredibly valuable. I now have people who I consider, and you two are two of them, dear friends who I have never met.
Yeah.
Not in a
physical room together, but like,
I'd fight a bully for you. I know that.
Right? Like, I'd lie down in traffic for either one of you. You know, you have a body to bury. Like, I'm your girl. That is what I mean by a rich life, is our lives we can have a thriving business and a very rich life. And that has nothing to do with the size of our bank account.
Yay. Preach. How's that hit you, Audrey?
I have so many things that are spinning right now. Okay. So I think I'm going to tell a quick story. And then that's going to lead into, I think, help me organize what I want to say next. So this is something I shared with my newsletter last week. And very briefly, I'll describe. I've been doing this physical therapy for an injured tendon in my finger. And one of the things that I was put on a strength training regimen. And lifting weights is like very exciting to me, but very scary. Coming into the weight room, very scary. A lot of dude bros in there. People take over the speakers with their death metal music. And I don't know what's going on in there. I feel uncomfortable. I feel awkward. But this is something that I am now dedicated to doing because it leads me to where I want to go. So I kind of like worked my way into it. Okay, how much weight am I comfortable doing here? Working with dumbbells. I'm like, okay, I feel like I can handle a dumbbell. I can handle two dumbbells. Great. Okay, I'm doing my bench press with my dumbbells and I'm doing my hip thrusters with my dumbbells. Cool. And the coach that I'm working with has this portal for his clients. And he was talking about really how important it is to use a barbell because of the specificity around the muscles. And he made some comment of like, my 12-year-old daughter can bench press a barbell. And I was like, okay, gauntlet thrown. Now I feel like I need to do this thing. So I like did all my, what I do always do first with anything is I got to do my research. I got to gather information. I got to figure out how you put a plate on a barbell. Like with the barbell is so heavy because when you put plates on it, it doesn't just like flip itself off the J hooks, which is again, a terminology, right? So I went into the gym and I set up the barbell and I did my first bench press with a barbell. And I was like, I'm a friggin' badass.
Yeah, you are.
And I'm going to put some friggin' plates on that thing because it's not even that heavy. It's only 45 pounds. No problem. Who's bench pressing with a barbell now? Who's doing her hip thrusters with a barbell now? Who's doing her pull-ups on the barbell now? Me, this one here. Okay. Here's the thing. It didn't happen on the first day. How long? It took me 6 weeks. 6 weeks to like build up the... From the like being so nervous that I barely could be in the weight room to like being able to, I know what playlist I listen to now. I put my headphones in. I know exactly where I put the cubby I put my stuff in. I know the path that I walk. I know which bench I like to use, right? I have a routine now. I have confidence now. I have experience now.
Yeah.
So what I want to say is that all of the things that we're even talking about now, and I think we've talked about this in previous episodes, you have to go through it. There is no avoiding it. And anybody who tells you you're going to avoid it, whatever it is, right? The pitfalls, we can tell you about the pitfalls. You're going to fall in the pits because you have to fall in the pits first to be like, oh, that's what you were talking about. There are things that I am now realizing that my coach told me 2 years ago about. 2 years. And I'm like, I know you told me this 2 years ago, but like, it's finally landing. Like, it's just finally like that seed has been sitting on top of that rock for 2 years. And like some wind last year blew that seed into fertile soil and it planted itself. And now there's a tiny seed growing. So all of this to say is that there is a very deep personal inquiry that should be happening, that is important to be happening. That's really important to have when you have a business, when you are creating a business, right? Money is important. A business is a business because there is money involved, right? But are you clear on it? Do you know about it? Do you know about the, you know, the receiving of money, the spending of money, the money that you want to make, the money that feels good, the money that feels too much, but maybe it's, maybe you're trying to get there, you know, like the things that feed you, the things that don't feed you. You only figure that out once you try it out a little bit, right? So I think that this is one of those things that, again, this year, I'm just giving myself grace around, okay, there's been learning. There's been a lot of learning, a lot of learning. And now I'm starting to come to the season where I'm like, no more learning, implementation, like implementation. And I think I'm inspired by you, Franklin, and your creation from last year.
I have
year.
More to say about that too, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Just a little secret. When you focus on implementation, you're still going to be learning.
learning by doing.
I think it's a shift. I want to say it's a shift on consumption, but I'm gonna step away from the mic and...
Well, I think both of your stories have really hit me right square in the heart and the head. And I wanted to kind of fill in a few blanks. We've talked about in some of our prior conversations about the goals that I had last year. And one of the goals was to produce a new video, podcast, and blog content every day. And I did that. Very proud of myself for following through with that commitment. And then the other thing was to switch the ratio of production to consumption and make production more of a priority. And I have to tell you that there's some things that I learned from that. That for myself, that productivity can become just as much of a fetish as the figures can. Mm-hmm. And it was problematic in a couple of ways in that ultimately I was doing the work just to do the work and not because it meant anything. And it kind of reminded me of something. There's a publishing company called Sounds True. And the president of that company, Tammy Simon, several years ago did some talks on the idea of multiple bottom lines. And I really loved what she came up with in that discussion, in that conversation. And so one of the things that I always have to look at, you know, when I look at last year and all of the productivity that I had, it didn't move the needle for my business at all.
Mm-hmm.
My business wasn't any better or any worse than the previous year. So that was something for me to learn. It's like this, just because the productivity was happening didn't mean anything to how much money I made, or to, especially, it didn't mean anything to how happy I was.
Mm.
And so one of the things that I had to kind of look at I told you two before the show, and I've made a couple of episodes recently about this on my own solo podcast. I spent the last couple of 3 weeks of the year last year in the deepest depression that I've had in a long time. And a lot of it was that I just was feeling like, oh my God, you know, I've done all this stuff, but for what? And it's like, I don't feel any more well connected with people. I don't feel like that my business is any better off. And I don't feel like, you know, there was actually kind of a sense of futility about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and at the end of the year, you know, feeling those things about my business and my life, all of a sudden it brought back into focus. It's like, oh crap, I forgot that this isn't all there is. And so one of the things that I've really spent some time with, I had to get through that depression. It was nasty. It was deep this time. And I really had to do some recovery work to get to a point where just a couple of days ago, it started to fade into the background again. And I started to recover some of who I am. And part of that recovery was, what am I really trying to create here?
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I had to reconnect with that in order to feel hopeful again.
Yeah.
So some of the things that I started making a list in my journal, and I made a list of the things. What are the things that are really, what do I want to create here? And one of them is, I want to spend a whole year in the UK. just, I want to immerse myself in all of the cultures there. And I want to have a firsthand experience of everything that I can in the UK. It's been on my, it's been on my list since I was a kid. And I want to spend a few months in Italy retracing the steps of Stanley Tucci with my wife. Because that's her heritage. And I want to take my kid for a graduation present. I want to take him on a heavy metal cruise ship.
Heck yeah.
You know, and it's like all of a sudden, it's like when I start to think about those things again, all of a sudden now I have a real bottom line. Mm-hmm. And it it goes back to the idea that that the Sounds True material had and that Tammy Simon had. It was like there are multiple bottom lines. And for me, my day-to-day life, the bottom lines that are just as important as the figures that are in the bank account are the quality of the solitude that I have. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's really important to me is just the overall sense of freedom within this space and parameter that I've got in my life. That's important. Those are the things that I'm actually, those are the things that my business is meant to serve.
Yeah.
And I can't switch that. I can't have those things serve the business. It just can't be that way anymore.
Yeah.
And so much of what you were just sharing, Franklin, just hit and landed, because there is this focus on productivity and the product and the creation, and that focus on the end product is so extreme that it destroys the part that brings me at least the most joy, which is the process.
Yeah.
Because I have zero control. I can create a thing. I have no control how other people are going to receive that thing.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's none of my business. That's not my problem. That's not what I need to worry about. But the process is where I can really enjoy it. And when we focus so much on the product and production and the quantity, we lose that joy of the creative process and of the quality and of the deep dives and of that piece. And I have to believe that some of this is connected to this ghastly language that we use, like consumption. I am over consumption of all versions. I don't want to consume content. That is icky and weird and kind of gross and makes me throw up in my mouth a little bit.
I actually still hate the word content, if you want to be honest.
Right. I hate that too. I don't want to consume anything. I want to curate things. And curate also has the Latin curare, which is to care for. That's a whole different.
That's a sexy sentence right there.
Right?
Yeah.
Because then it's, you can curate your experiences. You can curate your relationships. You can, and I don't mean that in a gross meat way. I mean it in the original meaning, to care for. You can care for the people in your orbit. You can care for the learning and the process that you're going through. You can care for putting stuff in your brain that helps you expand and grow and learn and sometimes helps you just tune out and laugh and giggle uncontrollably and pee your pants because you're laughing too hard. All of that is stuff that you can curate and care for and foster, as opposed to simply consuming. But our culture loves consumption. And I think consumption is at the root of so many of the other bigger problems that we've been talking about.
I think if the three of us ever spent a weekend together, that we would all need adult diapers.
Yes. Confirmed.
Yeah. Seriously. Seriously.
I'm like, Audrey might be not be there quite yet, but like, I'm with you.
No, everybody else around me gets to the rolling on the floor state. I get to the laughing really hard state, but I don't often to get to the like pee my pants level. Although I can make that a goal for 2023 is like to get to the level of pee my pants laughter.
You're probably dehydrated, Audrey.
And
it's just a water consumption thing. I gotta consume more water.
And some more years on you. That'll help make the pee in the pants thing a little bit easier.
Well, one of the things that has come up thematically a lot lately, and I think is also in this conversation is I talk about it we were talking about driving earlier, in the terms of being in park versus driving at 60 miles an hour. Yeah. And my experience and my observation of most folks is they're either in park or they're driving 60 miles an hour and they don't know how to downshift and they're not even aware that there are different speeds.
Yeah.
And there are times for going 60 miles an hour, 100%. There are times for being in park. But I think one of the things that we are talking about is this variable speed, because sometimes you want to look out the window and like enjoy the view. Sometimes you want to get the thrill of moving fast, right? Sometimes I have times in my week where I am so laser focused and just, I'm going to ride that adrenaline train and I'm on board with that adrenaline train.
Yeah.
I am like, I'm going to slam the coffee. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to go to bed late. And it's going to be great. And I'm going to love it. And I know that that's okay, whatever. But being able to shift through those different speeds and kind of figure out the flow of the week and the days and like what I want to enjoy, what I want to experience, the process, right? Some processes require different speeds. You know, you're going to create a different process maybe than you're going to have a BS conversation with somebody that you're going to have. So to me, this is a lot about that variable speeds and nuance and awareness and figuring out the sort of combination of speeds that you want to experience, right? A lot of this is the like, what am I interested in experiencing? What am I on board with experiencing? Because there are plenty of things that I don't want to experience, but it's a part of the process of getting to of anything, right? There is maybe I'm going to go to an end product because there is a thing, right? Just like Franklin was saying, like there are goals in terms of like travel or things you want to experience. Like there is some sort of thing that you want to get to, and there's a process in the getting to it. So yeah, it just makes me think of that.
I don't know which direction to go with it all, but one of the things that keeps coming back to me is that I really feel like that. I feel like that we're kind of on the cusp of, I'm going to call it a breakdown. I think that we're actually looking at a systemic breakdown from the way that we've been doing things for the last 10 years in digital marketing and online business. And I really feel like that it's happening, that the pace has become untenable for more and more and more people. And more people are starting to say the same things that we're saying here today. Mm-hmm. Is this all there is? Mm-hmm. And is this really worth it? Mm-hmm. And is this how I want to spend my time? Mm-hmm. Those are the questions that we keep coming back to. And it's like, you know, quite honestly, I want to spend my time way differently than being productive all the time.
Yeah. I'd be really interested to hear if you're open to it and if you have it sort of off the top of your head, like explicitly from each of you, what your... We can talk about Gregorian if we want to, Gregorian calendar, like what you're interested in experiencing this year, this quarter, this month, whatever. Like what's the kind of...
Well, I want to switch to the Julian calendar because it actually starts in the cycle of nature at the beginning of the cycle rather than at the end.
Okay, I'm on board with that.
That's a really great question, Audrey, and I can't tell you that I have a lot of clarity around the answer for myself right now. I'm in a regroup mode right now. And I'm asking a lot of questions that are a lot more reflective about, like, I love the people that I've met in the last couple of years, but quite honestly, very few of them are what I would consider client material. And I love the fact that I'm hanging around with people who are so creative and remarkable, but I really don't have a hell of a lot that I can offer them in terms of help. And that's okay. And it's been something that I've had to come to the realization of. So what does that mean for the way that I spend my time in terms of networking? I don't know right now. I feel like that I've lost touch with my people over the last couple of years. And part of that was pandemic related. And part of it was just that I got exposed to whole new groups of people that are completely different from any that I've ever been a part of. Right. So I'm kind of going through, well, where's my tribe? You know, where are the folks that I can really both, where's the mutual benefit? Right.
Yes.
Where are the people that I can help, and where are the people that can help me? And I can't say right now that I'm feeling much in the midst of any of that. So that's part of my reflection right now. The other thing that I'm really looking at is I love coaching. And, you know, I've gotten really good at marketing, but I'm tired of marketing. And quite honestly, what I would really love to have happen is for that long-promised referral engine that everybody talks about to kick into high gear so that I don't have to spend so much damn time marketing. And I'm not quite sure what to do about that. I've taken all the classes, I've read all the books, I've listened to John Janch and Duct Tape Marketing and his referral engine stuff thousands of times, and I've put it all into place. Where's my stuff? It ain't working. And so I'm in one of those places as well. It's like, yeah, I've learned a lot about marketing, and there's a lot about it that I enjoy. And the biggest part that I enjoy is that marketing is about making friends with people, and I love having friends. So that's all a good thing. But I would rather spend my time in other ways when it comes right down to it. So I'm asking those kinds of questions right now, and I don't have clear answers.
They sound like it's like that ask smart questions, get smart answers situation. Like it occurs to me when you say that, I'm like, I have faith that those questions are going to lead you in the direction that based on those questions, I feel like I'm like, there's future episodes where clarity is rolling in. Yeah, or more information, episodes. Right?
Yeah, those episodes will be boring. Clarity episodes, God forbid, man. We don't want to have anything real to offer anybody. We just want to, let everybody know that we're in the mud too.
Oh, I love those questions. They're really great.
So I'm following them.
Yeah. What about you, Erica?
So for me, one of the big things this year that I was not expecting, but is now a reality in my world, is requiring me to focus a whole lot more. So my father's health is not great, and we've been talking a lot about how to make sure that he is getting the help and the care that he needs, and I was not planning for that to be an additional financial obligation on my part, but here I am, and it is. So one of the things that as I started to kind of figure that out and be like, oh, this is really something that is happening, has been in a very interesting way that has been incredibly clarifying. Because there have been things that I've been like, ooh, I really want to do this. And I think if I join a program, I'm going to be able to learn how to do it. I don't have that money to do that anymore. Not that I necessarily had it before, but it was an investment in myself and that I was willing to take. And now it's like, I I am not willing to take that because I can't, because any money that could have been used as an investment in my business is pretty much now earmarked for how do I take care of my people? So as a part of that focus, what I also came down to, and this was part of that whole like weeding out and weeding the garden and throwing out the things, is trusting myself and leaning hard into trust what you know, trust what you do, trust how you want to show up. Trusting that piece, because we've all taken so many of the courses, we've taken so many of the things, and I believe strongly in that because we are responsible for our own professional development. But at the same time, there are times when it's, I think, really useful to pull back and say, okay, let me go with what I know and let me learn again to trust myself, because there's been too much noise, so that then I can be very, very selective when I do start investing again, being very selective in what that investment looks like and what it is and what it will help me accomplish. So that's just been a big piece of it, is how can I get back to that? How can I, you know, eliminate all these other things out of necessity, and come back to that center and really figuring out how to trust myself. And as part of that, and this, Audrey, Miss Audrey Holst, I have learned from you, it's that idea of sometimes you need that downshift and that downtime to be able, you can't trust yourself if you can't hear yourself.
Yeah.
If you're not listening to your body, if you're not paying attention to what's going on with yourself. So things that have become incredibly critical to me is after I do my, I have a writing practice that I engage in every morning. And after that, like, I take my cup of tea and I sit in my grandfather's big green leather chair and I take 3 really deep breaths. And often I'm watching the sun come up right now because wintertime, so that's where the sun's hanging out. And it just kind of helps me remember, like, okay, you know so much. And then we all have so many more resources available to us than we know. These relationships that we are creating.
Yeah.
There are people who I can call and just be like, I am not sure what to do here. This is something that is currently like freaking me out. And like folks who are like, yeah, okay, you're in spin cycle. Boop, let me just bump you out of spin cycle. Or, you know, just all of those different things. And the reminder sometimes to just say, you know, hey, Franklin, you've got this. Yeah. Trust yourself. You know, and that is such a, so I'm investing in different ways, I guess, is a big piece. And I'm trying to really get back to full on trust myself and seeing what this year is going to look like when I don't have, because I love to learn. So sometimes taking these other things can be a distraction because it's sexy and fun and you get to meet new people and you're learning new stuff and blah, 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 blah. And yeah, so this year it's sort of an enforced, it's a different kind of enforced sabbatical.
All right. Can't wait to see where you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. All I know is that it's, you know, it'll be interesting.
How about you, Audrey?
How about you, Audrey?
So I think that what I really want to anchor myself in this year is orienting to what I know. Because what gets me spinning, what puts me in panic, what creates uncertainty and worry and anxiety and shame for me is orienting towards the unknown, mm-hmm. what I don't know, mm-hmm. and what I haven't figured out, and what I have big question marks around.
which is a lot of things, folks. Spoiler alert. And so I think that is one of the practices that I don't know if I mentioned, I can't remember if it was pre-show now or on the show, but I think it was pre-show that I had maybe like a 2 week long panic period between December and January, where I was in just high panic. I could see all the signs of it. I could feel all the signs of it. I was in it physically, emotionally, mentally, all the spinning thoughts, all the things. And really paying attention to what I do know. I have some practices that I do. I even looking at my calendar, looking at people's names on my calendar and being like, this is an important conversation I'm excited for. Or seeing people on my calendar going, when I think of this person, there's no there. There's not business opportunity. There's not network. There's nothing here that is getting me towards professionally or personally the things that are interesting to me or that are important to me. Note taken, right? Or the people on my calendar, that it's funny, we keep networking, but they keep talking for 30 minutes and I get not a word in edgewise. And guess what? That's called coaching. And that's called you pay me for that.
Yeah. There you go.
You people are on notice. Anyway, they just don't make it onto my calendar anymore, to be honest. So there's a lot I don't know. I'm in a lot of inquiries, you know, Franklin's talking about, I'm in some inquiries that Erica's talking about. And my practice this year is to, what is working right now? What do I know? Orienting towards those things. And having something in front of me. We've talked a little bit about that too, right? Like I'm like, okay, well, there's this climbing trip I want to take in August. There's this other trip I want to take in October. You know, there's these things that I've been these actions that I've been putting off in my business for a really long time, but are important to take, but I've just been like putting them off because they're scary, but now I'm ready to do them. So that's this year. And I think that's what I mean by what I meant by like implementation is like, we're just going to keep going towards, and we're not going to, I am a little bit keeping the blinders on because I don't have the bandwidth for the distractions this year. It has to be really focused on, right, the things that we've been talking about this whole time.
I love this idea of orienting towards to what you know. Because
To do that too. Yeah.
Right? 100%. Because as soon as you said it, Audrey, I was like bells, whistles, like all the things. My brain was like, sir. Actually, it wasn't my brain. It was like the whole rest of my body was just like, listen to this. And I only know to say that because Audrey has taught me how to listen to my body. But yes, there are a lot of things that we don't know because welcome to being human.
I think I'm going to make that the title of this episode.
I like it. But each one of us also knows really, like, knows very deeply about a small number of things. Like, here's a small thing, and I know this deeply. And, like, I will throw down with anybody who thinks they know as much as I do. And some will. And that's totally cool because we'll learn from each other. But like, here's my area. And the more we can focus on the thing that we know, some things we're never going to know. And that's totally cool. And some things we think we need to know, but maybe we don't really need to know them. And it goes back to that idea of sometimes you just need to know who knows that thing.
Yeah.
So then they can help you because that's something you don't know, but they know. So you don't need to learn the whole damn thing yourself. You can just call Audrey and say, hey, I'm on your calendar. And yes, this is coaching. And yes, I am paying you because this is flipping valuable.
Here's your payment.
Exactly.
Well, as always, I hate to have to bring this to an end, but it's
Saturday of the following week, and
but the thing that I always get so tickled by the way that our conversations go, and I appreciate your willingness to just go into the depths with me. And folks, if you want to find out more about Audrey and all of the things that she's up to, especially if you're an attorney or a law office that is working through some, you know, communication, transitional, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, she is your Goldilocks at fortitudeandflow.com. And if you want to find out more about promoting your work through major publications, you need to talk to Erica at catchlinecommunications.com. And I'm at franklintaggart.com, and I'll talk to you about anything. So I love you.
Franklin's going to talk to you about sustainable business, human stuff. I mean, you've heard him say all the good things. So
I'll keep working on it. But I love these conversations, and I love you both. And I am delighted that we got back together again.
Delightful. And I can't wait to schedule our next date.
Exactly. And I love that people join us and listen to our conversations that go in such major random directions. So thank you all for being here too.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks for always, Franklin, for
everything. Being you. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't be anything else, so thank you. Thanks for listening to Your Own Best Company. If you enjoyed the show, would you do me a favor and subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast host? If you really love it, leave me a review or share it with your circles. If you feel like your career is reaching a dead end, or you're feeling a deep sense of dissatisfaction in your work right now, I help people discover their gifts and then find or create new opportunities that are the best fit for their talent, experience, and lifestyle. Email me at coaching@franklintaggart.com for more information. I also help people start, finish, and launch creative projects, and I offer an ongoing marketing mastermind for solopreneurs and freelancers. More information on these programs and services can be found at franklintaggart.com. Thanks again for spending this time with me.